Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
11.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
1, 2.
Midway, the most important of the year.
3, 4.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
It's not 10. You see, you're on 10 here. Where can you go from there? Where?
To 11.
11, exactly.
11.
Midway. So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
On the first half of the show, we talked a lot of football. J.J. Stankovic joined us to give us some thoughts about the Bears hiring of Chuck Pagano, what we might hear also from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy when they meet the media in a press conference. You will hear live.
That's right.
Coming up in just a little less than 90 minutes. Also had a conversation with Bruce Levine, as we speculated, regarding the White Sox and where Manny Machado might land. And before we continue, I want to give you your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the Score. The hour's keyword is donut, D-O-N-U-T, donut. Text it to 72881 by the end of the hour. The keyword donut, 72881. A randomly selected nationwide entrant will win. Do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
So it's a big day today for Kyler Murray. Today's the day where he's allowed to back out of his decision to go play for the A's. The reports all over the weekend that the Heisman-winning quarterback wants $15 million to go and play baseball. He will take 15 and forgo the NFL. He will take 15.
I love how he's doing this, too.
And give himself a chance at becoming a Major League Baseball player. Now, a couple of things I want to get to before we discuss the issue at hand here. Because I wasn't sure if we'd get the news before the show was over, so I figured we'd slide it. Kyler Murray's decision, that is, whether it's going to happen or not. I want to slide it in here. Jeff Passan had tweeted a couple of times that Major League Baseball is going to have to allow, essentially, for a circumvention, or if you're Job, circumvention of the rules on what you can offer your drafted players. Essentially, they're going to get around existing rules, the A's are, by putting Kyler Murray on the 40-man, then paying him whatever number they're okay paying him. Because you can't give a contract extension to drafted players inside a certain window, so then by elevating to the 40-man, they get around some of that stuff. Kyler Murray, the A's drafted him before he had his Heisman season.
And MLB is letting them do this. MLB's facilitating this rule bending because they would love to have Kyler Murray in their sport.
That's what this is. I mean, if you're going to have the argument, and Jake Arrieta tweeted about it, I retweeted it. He said, take a look at what's happening 1 to 3 year players, guys who are in your first 3 years in the big leagues. Take a look at what's happening this offseason. That's coming for you. Guys aren't happy with the compensation for ages 1 through 6 in Major League Baseball. They're not happy with minor league compensation, especially when you've got a guy like Kyler, a unicorn like Kyler Murray, who's got a chance to make his $15
million. Ages 1 through 6 or years 1 through 6?
No, baseball ages 1 through 6.
Ages,
yeah,
okay.
Baseball ages 1
on
through 6.
On base percentage for that kid.
Yeah, small strike zone.
Very tiny strike zone. So you've got the ability here in Kyler Murray to have this test case. It's not going to go well for baseball is the thing. He signed with the A's. The A's drafted him before his breakout with Oklahoma. They signed him before. They drafted him before his Heisman-winning football season. They drafted him before guys like Matt Miller, who we're going to talk to at noon, said he'd probably be a first-round draft pick. They're going to send – Major League Baseball is going to send Billy Bean, the general manager of the A's. They're going to send the top brass talking about his earning potential for advertisements and all this other kind of stuff that
you
can do.
Yeah, but you can get that for football, too.
Right, and they're going to be really disappointed when they find out that Chunky Soup's calling. I mean, like, Dak Prescott? No, never heard of him. You can be our new Chunky Soup guy. We're all about you, Kyler, instead of that, because we can do all sorts of things with you. The kid is probably not going to get the $15 million he wants from the Oakland A's. And I mean that less because of the A's than because they're baseball. But that doesn't help either. I think he's going to go play football.
Let's pour one out for my guy, J.J. Barea of the Mavericks, who tore his right Achilles tendon. He's going to undergo surgery today. And he has said he plans to play at least two more seasons. This is the final year of his contract. He's 34. And coming back from an Achilles is not an easy thing. Don't know how well he's going to age, being that he's listed at 6 feet tall. Is probably
that's not
6 feet tall. J.J. Barea, one of my favorite guys to watch.
No kidding.
I love watching him play. The way he understands space, the way he understands angles, the way he knows when to shoot, when not to shoot. It's a little bit of Steve Nash in that, but I remember there have been so many games for so many years where he's just pantsed bad Bulls teams and some good Bulls teams. There's all kinds of moments from this guy. I know a real fan favorite in Dallas. And this year off the bench was averaging 11 points and 5.6 assists in just 19.8 minutes. And if you want to teach somebody how to play basketball, have them watch J.J. Barea, who's here at the absolute highest level of the game, who always seems a step ahead, always seems to make the right decision, always, and it seems like an awesome guy, too. And then when you research him and you realize that you see the total money that he's made over his career.
What's the number for J.J. Barea?
Oh, I don't have it in front of me, but go ahead and grab it from Basketball Reference, see what his total number is, because you don't realize how long he's been in the league. And then you see that he's married to a former Miss Universe Puerto Rico.
And, oh, did life go well for him?
Miss Universe finalist Viviana Ortiz.
Finalist. Couldn't win, huh?
I think she was in like the final 15 or something like that, you know? I mean, but wow. JJ, nice go. If this is it for JJ Barea, the NBA will be a lesser place.
JJ Barea made himself $33 million playing in the league.
Yeah.
That's
that guy.
Not bad at all. This news is from a couple of weeks ago, but it takes some time for results to get from Antarctica to here.
Yeah.
A United States man has finished a solo race across Antarctica. This, I didn't know that this race existed. It's not the Iditarod or anything like
that's
that.
That's Alaska.
This is, yeah, right. So this is an unassisted race across the, I can't pronounce the name of the ice shelf, but it's the Rhone, R-O-N-N-E. I don't know if that's a French thing.
Well, it's crumbling underneath your feet.
Yeah, it's a race against time.
It's melting into the ocean.
And your own death. Colin O'Brady finished this race in 53 days.
Is it a sled? Are you running?
No, you're walking. Like, you're carrying gear. You've got a sled. On it is all of your gear. You're setting up a tent each night to, survive in a race.
What's pulling the sled?
You are pulling the sled. You're hauling all of this stuff across the Antarctic. I didn't know that people did this. I didn't know this existed. This is a 921-mile trek across the coldest continent on Earth in some of the most extreme conditions. 2 years ago, a racer died in this thing, because
really,
of course,
cold.
It's a terrible thing, and it's harrowing. You drag 375-pound sled, that's what you're carrying with all your gear and stuff, 12 to 13 hours a day through the coldest, harshest place in the world. That's how O'Brady described it. He beat British Army Captain Lewis Rudd by a day or so. I didn't know this existed.
I get tired shoveling my walk.
I was amazed by this, and I thought the Midday Midway is the right place to bring it up. I don't know what I need to find out.
What do you get for winning?
Life. You're allowed to live.
Soup.
a lot of soup. An awful lot of soup.
I'm just not sure how many people
are
competing in the race.
Wet.
And you look terrible when this is done. Like, these guys look like Edmund Hillary coming down off the mount. Like, everything's frozen and frostbitten.
While we're talking about ice, these are not things I thought I would see on a handy guide for safe ice thickness when it comes to ice fishing.
By Tom Thibodeau.
Ice.
It's not thick enough, Tom.
This is from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Oh, Oconomowoc.
I've been there. I've skied there. There was a place called the Olympia where I went as a kid to go to Oconomowoc. And I think that's where Campus Rui is also. Never been.
Great guy.
Never met him. But there is the DNR in Wisconsin put up a handy little chart to let you know about ice thickness. And they got a little carried away with it. because it says 2 inches or less, stay off. And there's an image of somebody falling through the ice. Okay, gotcha. 4 inches is considered safe for ice fishing. And I would think they just mean you and your auger and your tip up, not necessarily one of these massive cabins that they have, these RVs that they bring out.
Some people just bring their trucks out onto the ice and fish out of that thing.
Well, 5 inches is enough for snowmobiling safely. If you want to drive a car or a small pickup out on the ice, you need 8 to 12 inches of thickness. At 12 to 15 inches of thickness, it is safe, considered safe, according to the Wisconsin DNR, for a medium truck.
That just seems excessive.
Medium truck.
Now, 50 to 60 inches of ice. And I don't know where you would be.
Like Lake Superior or
something? To get 50 to 60 inches. I don't know. I don't think Lake Superior ice is over that extent because it's so big.
It's the only place I know of.
That is where, if you are on the ice planet Hoth, they say that you could bring out your, and you called it an AT-AT,
did you not?
I call it an AT-AT.
It's either way. It's fine.
Okay. It is the all-terrain attack transport.
Yeah. The big Imperial walkers on Hoth.
Correct. I always refer to them as AT-ATs. You call them AT-ATs. If you have one, and I don't know if you can get one used from the Empire, if Jawas have one
somewhere.
There's
a sale going on, yeah.
Sell them off like an old Mount Prospect police cruiser, right?
If you're facing down an AT-AT, harpoons and tow cables, that's what you're going to need to take one of those bad boys.
It's one of the dumbest things the Empire did, that both the AT-AT and the AT-ST, which you see on Endor,
yeah,
there's no reason to put guns on humanoid legs.
Nope.
Unless you're asking for them to be knocked over comically.
0 point.
Right. Now, at 100 inches of ice thickness, we're not done yet. At 100 inches of ice thickness, then and only then would it be safe for Godzilla. Now, I don't know how they know exactly how much Godzilla weighs.
I've seen a couple of those old movies. I don't remember him ever duking it out with Mothra on ice.
I'm a bit concerned. Oh, that was a great show, by the way. They came through here with the Bulls
Stade
around
Olympique,
the road.
That's where I saw it. Montreal, great show.
Mothra on ice came through. It was great. But I'm a little worried that this is actually going to help Godzilla. That all he was waiting for was an acknowledgement by a governmental arm such as the Wisconsin DNR to confirm safe ice thickness, and so, somewhere Godzilla's got like really cool tip ups and like the latest little teardrop jigs, and all he wanted to do was get out there and catch perch.
This from Wichita Falls, Texas.
I've been there.
A hat tip.
I did some boot scooting there.
We pour one out to this woman.
I didn't
actually
boot scoot
there. She has solved life.
Okay.
Police were called to a Texas Walmart after a woman was reportedly drinking wine from a Pringles can and riding an electric cart in the parking lot.
I want to marry this woman.
Officers responded to a call around 9 a.m. about a suspicious person in the store's parking lot. Investigators found the woman at a nearby restaurant and told her she was banned from the Walmart, which, what the hell?
No! Free Walmart for life!
The caller said the woman had been riding around the store's parking lot since 6:30 a.m. drinking wine from the potato chip can. Now, a couple of things.
There's more than a couple of things here.
First and foremost, the solution, as we've seen in Always Sunny, to having a day of drinking where you get a little drunk and you gesture wildly with your hands, you like to talk with your hands, putting wine into a can is the absolute 100% lockdown solve to that problem. You can gesture all over the place. Really like what you're doing with these gestures here. Why a Pringles can, I don't know, but maybe that's the exact thing you needed for the tannins in whatever red wine she had liberated from the Walmart.
See, I love imagining that it's a really good wine she's drinking. Just on top of all of it, it just so happens she's at a Walmart. It so happens that she had the Pringles. It's also like a Chateau Lafite 61 or something.
Meanwhile, right? She's driving around in a cart, which admittedly is kind of a problem for the drinking and driving scenario. But if it's a small enough cart and the CCs are restricted, then it's essentially like riding a bike around drunk. And if you haven't done it, that's safe enough. You're probably fine. Especially if you're in a parking lot between 6:30 and 9 a.m., there's nobody out there anywhere. So I ask you this, Wichita Falls Police Department. If this woman's going to be out there drinking wine out of a Pringles can and riding around a cart, she picked the safest place to do it. Why are we criminalizing this woman? She found the solution to all of her problems in the Walmart parking lot.
Don't we need to know if it's regular Pringles or if it's like sour cream and onion Pringles?
Like jalapeno Pringles and a good wine?
Yeah, that's what we gotta make sure there's no actual violation going on here. But that's really good.
Also,
that's peak America.
There's some news here. Apparently, a Pringles can is you know, sturdy enough or sealed enough on the inside that the liquid doesn't just dissolve or deteriorate the whole thing.
Well, it has to be lined with something because of otherwise the grease would come through.
I guess, but for those of you looking for a way to sneak alcohol into certain places, this don't do that. Don't do it. It's illegal. But apparently a Pringles can would work.
That is the Midday Midway, and when we come back, we are going to have a conversation with a guy who's going to offer us a unique perspective. Former Bears inside linebacker Jarrell Freeman played for Vic Fangio and played for Chuck Pagano.
It's a guy I'd like to talk to, then.
We shall, and he will compare and contrast his defensive coaches next on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Osweiler setting up a pass to the right side. Jarrell Freeman's got him, and he gobbles him up. No chance at all. Well read as Lamar Miller is dropped for a 6-yard loss.
He's pretty good as a Bear, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Jarrell Freeman? He's pretty good.
Watch.
Yeah. He's on Twitter at Jarrell Freeman, and there were consecutive tweets here that are really all you need to know about why we are looking forward to having a conversation with Jarrell Freeman. So the first tweet says, "Damn, Fangio is a big loss. Wow." The very next tweet has got a retweet of the Chicago Bears hiring of Chuck Pagano and says, "Great pickup. I love me some Chuck." And Jarrell, these are not mutually exclusive. Both things can be true, can they not?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
What's the biggest difference, Jarrell, in playing for Vic's defense and playing in Chuck Pagano's defense? I get that they're pretty similar, but where are the biggest differences, specifically for your position while you played it?
Chuck was our head coach, and, you know, Greg Vanesky was our D coordinator over there, but it was a lot of stuff that he ran over there in Baltimore and everything. But of course, both of them run a 3-4 and everything, but I think Vic is more of a guy that lets those dogs eat up front with the four men. I'm sure it's pretty easy when you got 9-4, 9-6, 5-2, you know, mm-hmm. on their front line. But I think Chuck is going to blitz a lot more, be a lot more multiple. It's going to be exciting to see what he does on third down. You never know. Week to week, it's going to be some different, some crazy, a lot of different pressures and everything. But I think Vic is more of a guy that the way he calls, I mean, when he calls up a blitz, it works out. He's like a mad scientist when it comes to blitzes. But he likes letting those four hunt up front and then play coverage behind it. The play calling is a little more, I guess, conservative compared to Chuck, what I'm thinking. But the style of play was just so aggressive. I mean, of course, you guys saw it, pretty aggressive. I think Chuck's, like I said, especially on third and long and everything, is the play calling is going to be a lot more aggressive. It's my feeling about it.
In some of these pressures, does that mean man behind and you really have to trust Prince Amukamara and Kyle Fuller, or is there zone behind or some combination of both depending on the situation?
It's going to be a combination of everything. I mean, in some coverages, zone's going to look like man. Man's going to look like zone. It just depends. You can pass a lot of the stuff off where everything kind of looks the same. But that kind of happened in Vic's defense also whenever we blitzed. It could be a man or it could be a fire zone, and it end up playing the same if you played man-to-man, if you played the zone blitzes. So, but he's pretty multiple when it comes to that. He's a pretty good coach. He's been a pretty good coach. So, yeah, I'd say it's going to be pretty multiple. Man, fire zone, little trap coverage, yeah.
Talking with former Bears linebacker Jarrell Freeman. Jarrell played for both Vic Fangio and Chuck Pagano in his NFL career. How do you feel Vic is going to do as a head coach? I personally, Jarrell, I feel like he's got a couple of things going against him in Denver. What with John Elway working, a quarterback situation that might not resolve itself, and all those things are his worries now as head coach. But I do like his, you know, I mean, the ability to do the job seems there. I wonder if you feel the same way.
I mean, I believe so, especially, I mean, he's going from the a Bears defense to going to Denver, and you go from Khalil Mack to Von Miller. So, I mean, that's pretty good on the defensive side. They've developed a pretty good defense over there. Offensively wise, they've been working. I know they let Demarius go or whatever, but they have some talent over there. I think Vic is going to do a pretty good job. He's definitely good at attention to detail, and he's definitely going to get those guys going. I mean, I enjoyed Vic while I was playing over there. He's more of a reserved guy, throws a little humor out every once in a while, but I think Chuck is more of a I wouldn't say brash, but he's more goofy, fun-loving players. You know, players don't love playing for him. He's just out there goofing off. When it's time to get the business, he's gonna get the business, man. He's always been a great coach. Especially when I was in Indy, I love playing for him.
Chuck seems more extroverted and more sort of typically coachy. You know, he's got that whole thing going. Where Vic to me seems, we know he's a truth teller, and we know that he doesn't like to BS guys. You say there's, occasionally there's, some self deprecating humor in there a little bit. I wonder about the personality fit in the building, what it's going to be like to go from somebody who is kind of laid back and almost like a science teacher who just happens to be coaching football, where Pagano's just more typically coachy.
Yeah, so, Pagano's typically, he's coachy, but and I guess Vic is definitely more reserved. Like I said, reserved, mad scientist, sit back, analyze, and everything. But I think both of them have survived a long time because both of them can coach, and players love to play for him. Chuck, like I said, I think Chuck is like a John Fox guy with the humor and joking around with the guys. But I mean, he's a truth teller also. When something needs to be said or things need to go down, I mean, he's right there. He's going to be the first one to hold some guys accountable. He's going to let guys' personality show. You can be who you want to be out there, but you better find yourself getting the job done, or he's going to let you know about it.
We're talking with former Bears linebacker Jarrell Freeman, who has played for former Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, now the head coach of the Denver Broncos, and for current just named defensive coordinator of the Bears, Chuck Pagano, who was the head coach with the Indianapolis Colts when Jarrell was there. We think that Pagano was going to be on the sidelines as defensive coordinator when Vic was up in the booth. How does that change the relationship with a defense when during a game, either the head of your side of the ball is there to look in your eyes, or he's only doing it at halftime and after the game?
It doesn't matter whether you're in the box or down on the field. If a point needs to be made, it's going to be made. I don't care if you got to get on the phone and talk to him personally, or your position coach is going to relay the message to you. I had it both ways. I had it when my defensive coordinator was down on the field with Greg Minuski there in Indy, and then with Vic up in the box. It really doesn't matter. If there's a point to be made, it's going to be made.
Jarrell, I know Chuck was your head coach while you were in Indianapolis, but one of the things I've read about Pagano specifically in the last day or so has been his willingness to get players involved, like have their thoughts on what this matchup looks like or what they can do in a defense, or just kind of overall getting them involved in scheme and game plan. Did you experience any of that while playing for the Colts? Were you guys asked to participate in a way that was different than other places in your career?
Well, you got to understand, I came from Canada before then, so yeah. it was a lot of team stuff there. but yes, I did experience that. I guess if a coach is out there, he's coaching. He's not one of those guys that sit there and coach off film. Look, you should have did this. You should have did that. He gets the input from guys, and he lets the guys. Okay, watching film. How do you see this? How do you see that? Okay, I see it like this. But if you guys see it like that, if you want to play it like that, that's fine. You just better get the job done. So yeah, he gives you a little freedom out there. But if it doesn't work, if it takes one time and it doesn't work, you better be doing it his way. But yeah, he gives you a lot of freedom. If you, especially as a veteran, I mean, you got some great vets over there in Chicago, so it makes it easy. I mean, he goes to a defense with that front seven, which is probably the best front seven in the NFL. And you got some good lockdown corners, some savvy guys out there that know when and when not to take chances. So I think he's going to go in and trust those guys and just allow them to see things and play it like they see it.
What do you think of Roquan Smith?
I think that was a very good use of a first-round pick. I'd say. it's exciting to watch that guy. It's exciting to watch him play with Danny. You can see the report and they've already developed. It's good. I love seeing good linebacker play, and that kid plays it, man. It's no question about it. I mean, I don't know if you see me live tweeting sometime with those guys out there making plays. The kid's everywhere. He's coming in. You see him playing. He plays like he's been there for a few years. So it is good to see. Like I said, I love seeing good linebacker playing. He's definitely a guy that's going to be there for a good long time, carrying that torch for Chicago Bear linebackers.
Given how smooth everything was for him getting into his rookie season, what should we look for in his second year to get better? Like where are the ways, the little nuances where he's going to get better and we're going to notice it most?
I'd say just understanding coverages and like working with the guys. If you've been, I mean, Pace has been really good about developing the defense. If you got guys that keeps coming back year after year, I think everybody's pretty much coming back on defense. So developing a rapport with the guys, able to play like the mans and the fire zones and like I said, the cover twos and all that. If guys are able to see things, everything is just so much smoother. I know the verbiage might be different coming in with defense to defense, but once you get the coverage down and understand the numbers and the words and everything, it's going to be – I think it's going to – Take another step. I mean, the kid's gonna be good, man. And with everybody around him, I think he'll be a Pro Bowler for the year after year. I mean, he's definitely got that opportunity.
Even with the second defense in 2 years, I mean, obviously the terminology might be similar and some of the assignments could be similar, but if that position room is different, if the film work is a little bit different, is it going to, how much of an adjustment will it be for him as a second year pro to have new words, new terms, new teachers?
I just think experience is the best teacher. And regardless of what defense you're in, I think all of that stuff will get ironed out in the off season. Like with the coverages and verbiage and all that. I mean, they're going to go over time after time after time again. There's so many times that you're going to go back to the beginning and install everything again and go back to the beginning and install it again, where the verbiage will be second nature. So, I mean, once they get in, I mean, like I said, the third downs, first downs and all that kind of stuff, they're pretty much the same defense. I think there might be one or two coverages that I don't know if Chuck and them run, but I'm sure they run a version of it. But, yeah, I mean, as soon as they get the verbiage down, I mean, they're just going out there and playing. And he's been playing at a high level ever since he got in the league.
What's post-football like for a Jarrell Freeman right now? How has the adjustment been for you to become a former player?
I mean, I just got done changing a diaper. I mean, if anybody wants to come over and help me out, you know, I got.
As long as it's not yours. As long as it's someone else's diaper, I'm fine.
Exactly. Yeah, man. I got a 4-month-old crazy little kid running around here now, man. He's just rolling around now. He hadn't learned to crawl, but he does roll now. But he's a cute kid, man. I'm just daddy daycaring it right now, business-wise, you know. I'm an old Texas guy, so, you know, I'm cattle and oil right now, you know, doing a little bit of real estate. But, yeah, it's been pretty good for retirement.
Nice. And you can still watch the game and enjoy it and not feel the pangs of, I got to get back out there and the juice are still flowing. But it sounds like you've been watching plenty of football.
Oh, I watch plenty of them. Yeah, I love football. It's different being a fan, though. You have a more tendency to have a heart attack being a fan than a player. I'll tell you that much. It's the highs and lows of a game, man. It's definitely different on this side. And those guys that I play with in Chicago and in Indianapolis, and you know how you got free agency and cuts and guys go to different teams. You start rooting for players, also rooting for teams. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's it's different, man. That's for sure. But now I don't really have the itch to doing anything. I'm enjoying being on the couch and rolling around and playing with my little guy, man.
And if you're a cattleman and oil man, you better have the giant hat. You're not allowed to be a Texas cattle rancher and oil baron unless you have a huge hat.
I'm one of the new guys. You know what I mean? I don't have the hats. I mean, I might have a little ball cap on.
Okay,
I got the boots. You know the coveralls all day. When I gotta go mess with the cows out there. Yeah, it's definitely a different life. I thought the life change was going to the NFL, but it's definitely working with oil and cows. Wow. It's definitely an eye-opening experience and a life-changing experience.
Yeah, this is peak Texas right here. You're throwing a little bit of brisket. I think we got peak Texas
here. We got it going. Come on over, man. Hey, throw the grill on. Throw it on the grill, man.
Jarrell, we certainly appreciate you taking the time and giving us the insight today. This is fun.
Oh, no question. Appreciate y'all. Thank you for having me.
That is Jarrell Freeman, the former Chicago Bear, about his former coaches.
Oil and cattle and a little baby.
The bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves return home this week to face division rival Grand Rapids, Rockford, and Milwaukee. Wednesday's craft beer arena crawl night, and Saturday is esports night, or it is esports night. I believe it's not.
It goes on the other side.
I do not think it is esports. I believe it's esports night. Visit chicagowolves.com and join on the quest to be the last team standing. Get another chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score when we come back. And further proof that Tom Brady is insane. There's something wrong with this
dude. There was just
a
little piece that was missing for me to put the nail in the coffin here. Gee, I hadn't believed
it
before.
Insane.
But now this is going to do it. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Well, you mentioned it, your eighth straight AFC Championship game, and it's a rematch against Kansas City. This time, though, in Arrowhead. What can we expect from that one?
It'll be a good game. They're a good team, and we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see. It'll be fun.
Yeah, everyone thinks you suck. Idiot. You're the Patriots. You're Tom Brady, and it's the Patriots. It was a 13th AFC Championship game.
16 okay. seasons of 10 wins or more in the last 20.
On,
like,
man.
What the hell?
And that's not even the reason I'm saying he's insane.
No, he's insane for many different reasons.
That's one thing. Obviously, like, nobody believes in us, the Patriots.
That's at least closer to sane, though. Football players, coaches, everybody. Mitch, this season, I mean, everybody gets on the nobody believes in us but us.
No. Everyone thinks we suck.
Everybody.
Everybody thinks you suck. Yep, indeed.
No one likes you.
No, right.
But not everybody thinks you suck.
Right. So I'll get to this in just a second. But first, it's your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is old. Text OLD to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is OLD to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Okay. This was during his weekly appearance on 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. So Tom Brady said that his brain is safer than other people's brains from the ravages of football, because his brain is wired for contact.
He didn't follow this up by saying, like, LOL, JK.
He says, first of all, I've been doing it a long time. Your body gets used to the hits. The brain understands the position you are putting your body into. My brain is wired for contact. In some ways, it has become immune to hits.
In no way. Has it become immune?
No. Nope. Brains are not wired for contact. They cannot become immune to hits, no matter what your pliability score is, your vibrating sphere, your $95 yoga mat, and your weirdo personal Svengali Alex Guerrero says. You cannot wire your brain for contact. So kudos to former Patriots linebacker Ted Johnson. Ted Johnson was unhappy with this, and he says, I'll be honest, I love Tom, but it made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. It was very irresponsible for Tom to talk like that. Brains wired for contact. So what? Kevin Turner's wasn't. Junior Seau's wasn't. Justin Strelzik's brain wasn't. Andre Waters' brain wasn't wired for contact, but yours is. It was very insensitive, and I thought irresponsible to talk like that.
He said that because he actually believes it.
I know.
You understand this.
He's a crazy
That
person.
Man, the greatest quarterback of all time, or at least one who's in the discussion to be exactly that, truly believes that through whatever avocado ice cream and pliability magic ball, he has been able to condition his body mm-hmm. to do something that bodies can't be conditioned to do. He truly believes that. And I don't know. It's honestly fascinating to me because I understand that to reach that level of achievement, right, that kind of maniacal, unceasing work that goes into reaching the top of that sport, the top of really any sport, but that one particularly, you probably have to think that you're bulletproof, you know? If not literally, which maybe he does, he might think he's actually bulletproof as well. You've got to go through some serious stuff, like some narcissistic, egomaniacal stuff.
And isn't his wife on record saying she's really worried about his brain? Why doesn't he just tell her, "Oh, I'm wired, I'm good, I'm immune"?
Is she just Giselle worried about the brain?
She said it.
Yeah,
she's like tried to get him to retire.
Why would you not be?
Right,
you should be.
You only get one. South Shore, Bill, you're on the score.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Bill.
Great show. Hey, you know it was tough to watch. The Saints and L.A. look so average to me, at least. Or at least, you know, above average but not great this weekend because I know the Bears could have given them a time. Last week, Dan, you said you were sick of the Patriots, and I hear you. But, you know, I want that to be the Bears. I want everyone to be sick of them eventually. And it's just hard to believe that 8 straight years you're in the NFC championship game with low draft picks, a number one schedule year after year, tons of injuries and just making all those adjustments. Got to give it to those guys, man, as much as I hate them. But we'll see if Pace could keep drafting with those middle and late round picks and developing players. I think maybe he might be able to. And take care.
See you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill, as always.
They are incredible. I mean, they are. Chris Hogan did nothing for them all season. He was supposed to be a number one wide receiver. Nothing. They lost their top running back for 4 weeks. They just keep doing anything they feel like doing. Scheme-wise, they just do whatever your weakness is and destroy you with it. They were talking about it on the broadcast, too. They ran like a ISO zone, like a running play where you pulled the guard and had the fullback come down. The thing's from like 35 years ago. Nobody runs this stuff anymore.
And Romo's Saints,
like, oh my God, they did
look,
it.
No, the Saints did some stuff like that too. It was there was power run game, old school ISO run game stuff all over the league.
You found opportunities to run some weird stuff. You had mismatches and you took your opportunities with it. That's what Belichick has done so well. He finds that take the skill set, the player with one little skill set, make them do that thing and that thing only over and over again. That's success.
Now, while we're on the topic of strange NFL stories, I have this one as well. Kansas City Chiefs lineman Jeff Allen was on his way to Arrowhead early, and the conditions were not good. Snowy, as you know.
A
lot of snow everywhere. And his car got stuck while he was headed to the game. He was on Highway 40. And, or as they say in Missouri, Highway Farty. And that's how they say it.
Do they?
Around St. Louis, Highway Farty Far. And they got stuck. And a guy helped him out. A random guy. Allen says it was a nice guy named Dave. Didn't know that Allen was a Chiefs player.
Good job, Dave.
And he helped him get out of the sticky situation. So afterward, Jeff Allen on Twitter said, "I'm looking for the guy named Dave that helped me." And apparently hundreds of people replied, many claiming to be Dave. And they did track him down. In fact, they found this guy. His name is Dave Cochran. Dave Cochran is homeless. He lives in his truck with his girlfriend and a small dog.
Aw.
And apparently helped use his truck to tow him out and did him a solid. So they're rewarding Dave by sending him to his first Chiefs game.
Ugh.
So he's real excited to go to his first Chiefs game.
I'm sure that he is.
It's like a dream come true. Now, this might just be me, but if I were helped by a homeless person who lives in his truck, that maybe instead of a couple of football tickets, maybe you give Warrick Dunn a call, maybe you give Jimmy Carter a call, maybe you give Jim Tomey a call. How about, I don't know,
a parking spot,
a home. How about maybe in the dead of winter, instead of a couple tickets to a football game, maybe make a couple of phone calls and see if you can get a roof for the guy.
I would hope they're able to turn that around in a couple of days. Because granted, this did just happen, what, yesterday? This was yesterday? This was Saturday? I mean, that's not a lot of time to pull together a home for a
guy. Yeah, wouldn't your thought maybe, hey, throw you a couple of tickets. Here you go.
I very much hope we're doing a follow-up story to this where the Chiefs buy this guy a home. Somebody gets him a home.
Just see, even if you just get the guy an opportunity to say, yeah. It doesn't have to be a sprawling Shangri-La.
Here's tickets.
Here's tickets to a place that doesn't have a roof.
Right. Exactly. Still like, all I wanted was a roof.
You won't have to worry about traffic on the way out of the game.
The guy was nice enough to help, and he's not even really a fan. You know, he didn't know the guy played for the team. I don't know if he's a fan or not, but
the picture I saw had him with a Chiefs hat on.
Oh, really?
Well, maybe I thought so.
Might have been after the fact.
You're right. Could have been.
Oh, also throwing a hat. It's cold living in a truck.
It's a snapback. It's not fitted, Dave. Sorry.
Wouldn't the thought be maybe?
We didn't have a lot of time here.
Maybe give the guy a chance to have a place to live. It's just a thought. Doug in St. Louis, you're on the score. What's up, Doug?
Good afternoon. I just drove through that miserable weather to get down here to hang with my daughter and I'm getting you guys on the feed. So I agree with Connor that Tom Brady is, you know, just nuts in a great way if you're a Pats fan, I guess. You know, and I love the guy from as far as a football player, but I agree that's pretty irresponsible. And I'm just curious. I mean, he's all but the face of the league. I mean, they interview him on any Westwood One radio product. I mean, he's all over the place. Is there any kind of slippery slope of culpability in that? And would the league, you think, do anything to maybe correct that statement or in some way?
They tell him stop saying that your brain has been damage-proofed. I don't know.
Stop saying crazy things.
I don't know. Well, it kind of comes with the territory, Doug.
He'd have to protect himself somewhat within the TB12 stuff, wouldn't he?
I mean, if you're TB12 water.
Depending on how you mark. No, I know. But if his statements, I don't know how the two come together in patent law or whatever. But if he's got a health thing, wouldn't it be likely that those two things could be conjoined if he is the face and marketer and proprietor of TB12?
He's got to say it directly. I don't think him saying this and then allowing you to assume that his products hardwire his brain, that's on you. Unless if you have to act to be in trouble, you have to state it as
TB12
a claim.
Fixes your brain.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You have to really.
It didn't.
No, it didn't. It doesn't. But if anything, this is a bad advertisement for it because it's making him look insane. Top of the hour, we are going to talk to Matt Miller, get his thoughts about the Final Four in the NFL and the Chuck Pagano hiring, all that. He's coming up next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.